I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm K. Edward Copeland.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching. Preacher's Talk is brought to you both by the Charles Simeon Trust, who train Bible teachers to proclaim the Bible better, and Nine Marks, who provide resources to build healthy churches. To learn more about both of these organizations, you can go to simeontrust.org and ninemarks.org. Today, we have John Onwuchekwa with us. John, how's it going?
Oh, what's up, man? I'm doing good.
John, who are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
John Onwuchekwa. I'm a husband to Chandra, dad to Ava. I pastor a church in Atlanta, Georgia, business owner, and yeah, just a regular guy that's trying to shrink his life. So my house is 5 blocks from the business that I own, which is 5 blocks from the church that I pastor.
Right.
So my whole world is
right there
on the southwest side.
Well, we thank
Atlanta.
You for expanding your life for a minute to join us
come
here.
To Chicago.
Right. I love Chicago, man. In between April and September, right. Outside of these 4 months, you will not catch me here.
That's right. Yeah, you can catch me here. I just don't want to be here.
Right, man.
Today, I want to talk about preaching cross-culturally. Now, Ed, this was your idea.
Yes, it was.
So what do you mean by cross-cultural?
Okay, so let me back up and say that anytime we talk about cross-cultural preaching, whenever you go preach somewhere other than your own congregation, you're preaching cross-culturally in one sense,
right?
Because every church has its own culture.
Yes.
And you need to be aware of that. But I was making specific reference to the fact that sometimes we have opportunities to preach across ethnic lines, across racial lines, when I say across, I'm talking about speaking to congregations whose demographics don't look like our own,
right,
ethnically or racially.
Okay. John, you got anything to add to that?
No. That
okay. So now we're all on the same page.
Okay.
I want to start off real simple. John, I'll start with you. What is your experience preaching cross-culturally?
Man, I started preaching in the context of the churches that I've pastored, which have primarily been people that look like me, right? Or have the background that I do. And then as I've gotten a chance to kind of travel and speak, it's actually in speaking outside of the context of my church that I have gotten a chance to speak mainly to larger groups that are predominantly of the majority culture.
Okay.
So.
And then in your particular church, what's more or less the general makeup of that church?
Mostly black. So, you know, 65, 70% black.
Okay.
And we're in Atlanta, so the rest is, you know, white.
Sure.
With a sprinkle of Hispanic, Asian.
On your typical Sunday, there's some cross-cultural stuff going on there. It's, so as Ed said, it's cultural to you in the sense that that's your church.
Right.
But it's cross-cultural. You've got a mix of different people in there.
Yeah.
But you've got most of your cross-cultural stuff is happening outside. Great, in larger context, majority culture. Ed, what about you?
The same, but obviously with the Simeon Trust, we get to go across the country.
Right.
And I've, for whatever reason, I've gotten the opportunity to preach in some predominantly white Presbyterian churches and some other situations down through the years just by virtue of relationship.
Yeah.
So at the larger pieces like Gospel Coalition, which, by the way, John O. did a great keynote at the Gospel Coalition this year.
Yeah.
And then other smaller situations as the Lord gives me grace.
Great. My case, I am a member of Christ Church Chicago, a Baptist living in a Presbyterian land. So pray for me.
Right. Exiled.
Exiled. Right. Which is a rather diverse congregation, but the vast majority of my preaching opportunities happen in what we might call black churches. So all of us are preaching in very different kinds of cultures, inside and then outside the church, which makes us maybe not experts on the situation, but at least knowledgeable, right?
Right.
We're just speaking from theory. So here's the question. What do you enjoy, Ed, particularly about preaching in cross-cultural spaces?
Just to see how the word is received and appreciated by other cultures, particularly in terms of how they express appreciation.
what do you mean by that? For those of us that don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
So obviously I come from that part of the Christian family where the preaching moment is dialogical.
Right.
Where you get instant feedback as it relates to understanding as well as appreciation. But by God's grace, when you get to preach in other cultures, you recognize that other people show appreciation and show that they're listening or show that they're honoring the word
right
by a different means.
By taking notes.
Some right. by taking notes, yeah. some by like staring, you know, without okay. blinking.
And tuck that bottom lip up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, mm. yeah. Yeah, I was preaching in front of my church, Dutch Reformed Church, just not too long ago. And I had heard from the pastor that this was the case. But at the end, one of the elders was like, "Thank you for that message. We were on the edge of our seats. It was so good. You could have heard a pin drop." I understand that for you all, that is like the height of compliment.
Exactly.
Right.
John, what about you? What do you enjoy, if you enjoy it, what have you like kind of really appreciated about preaching in these other contexts?
Yeah, so I've enjoyed what I found is that often like, so it's like people from minority contexts
yep.
that find themselves in this stream of Christianity have had a diverse experience when it comes to being able to hear God's word, right?
Right.
And
right.
so it's good. I enjoy being able to be it, one of the folks that comes in and then at the end they say, "Man, that was different than what I'm used to."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
"But I'm so glad that I saw it." And just being able to see people understand that the same truths that we all love come in
right.
different packages.
Come in yeah, different
right.
packages.
Right, 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 yeah.
Okay, so here's the question, and this is where we're going to have a bit of a different perspective because of who we are.
Right.
But here's the thing. What is particularly challenging for you, John, in preaching, and Ed is going to come to you after this, in being a minority culture person,
yeah,
cross-culturally speaking in majority culture space, what's particularly challenging about that for you?
Yeah. So I would say as time has gone on, things have changed, right? So I think early on, you tend to go in, or I would go in and feel the need of, all right, how do I need to adjust to ensure people get it?
Yeah.
Right.
And then I think as time has gone on, it's just, no, I think I'm going to be me. I'm not going to do things that are intentionally estranging.
Sure.
Right.
But I'm going to do my best just to make sure, all right, my, you know, frameworks, schema, all of that stuff is there. Yeah. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. But I've just learned, like, I'm just going to be me and
right.
we'll let people catch up.
Yeah.
And if they don't like it or enjoy it, or they feel like they can't tag along or they would prefer something else, then at that point, it's just, I can't give it to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
So along with those lines, yeah. just the weight of expectation, particularly
right.
depending on the relationship where I might be either the first or one of a few African Americans
yeah.
that get to get in that pulpit.
You better right. not mess it up.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes,
right.
exactly. And so that's on the yeah. local level, but then on the larger context situation, one of the things that I had to overcome, and strangely enough, a brother helped me with this, is just the critique.
Mm.
Like there's a certain strain of Christianity where some people think that criticism is a spiritual gift. And so they make money off their blogs as well as
right.
their YouTube channels
yeah.
really critiquing people. And I'll say it frankly. So I think it was the first big Gospel Coalition meeting and I was on the preach, but before I got on, I happened to look online and I saw that there were like websites and blogs dedicated to talking about how Don Carson was a heretic. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, well,
geez, if that's how you deal with your hero,
right.
you know, I can imagine what you're going to do with me.
Right.
So I happened to talk to another seasoned white pastor who preaches cross-culturally. And I called him and I asked him, I said, "Man, how do I approach this?" He said, "Look, Ed, God intends for you to be you full strength.
Right.
That's why he gave you that platform. So
right.
don't change anything." I mean, obviously you adjust your illustrations and
yeah,
your
right.
applications
sure.
to the audience, that's anywhere.
Sure.
That's nothing
yeah.
ethnic or racial
right.
or anything
yep.
like that. So obviously you do that, but you need to be you and God will be satisfied. So
yeah.
once he told me that, I'm like, okay, that's how I approach it from here on in. Yeah.
Right. In a very similar way, I've got the same thing, right? I got to be me.
Right.
And if people don't like it, they don't like it. And I got to yeah. be the best version of me,
right?
Which is a challenge. And for me, coming from majority culture into a minority culture context, it's that thing of like, you know, y'all are like, okay, I don't want to mess this up. Same thing with me. Like, because I know like, you're only going to invite so many white dudes into the pulpit if I mess
right.
this up.
Right? right.
But in the same sense, there's this, I think we're all feeling this like burden of responsibility
right.
to do good work.
Right.
And it's a challenge. And we've all got this kind of floating in the back of our minds. And we're actually striving for something very simple, which is just to be us.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, we're trying to do this, and as we're trying to encourage other guys who might be in this space or desire to be in this kind of space, what are some things, Ed, we'll start with you, that we should be cautious about and that we should maybe avoid in preaching cross-culturally, especially if we're like new to this or it's a context we're very unfamiliar with?
Making assumptions about the hearer because of how they look. And also making assumptions about how the word is going to be received. I think that at some point we have to recognize that if God has given you a message and given you a platform, he expects you to be you full strength, as I was told. But also that I'm not responsible for how it's received.
Right.
That at some point I had to recognize I'm the herald. I'm the messenger. I'm the mailman. I give you the mail. How you feel about it, that's on you.
Right.
You know, I didn't send it. I'm delivering it. So that whole piece of coming into a situation and not with your defenses up, not sort of with some kind of expectation, preconceived expectation that really is based on a stereotype as opposed to what you might need to know about that particular congregation that you could find out with some conversation and with some observation.
John?
I don't think I have any cautions other than that.
Why is love so important in all preaching, but especially when we're talking about cross-culturally, like going in with a very strong heart of love for whoever is sitting there in the preaching moment? Why is that such a key thing, especially when we're thinking about cross-cultural stuff?
Right. Yeah. Because there is a thing where I do think, like, so to Ed's point, like, ignorance can be a problem.
Yeah.
And if it's not tempered with love, then it's kind of mixed with arrogance. And when you mix ignorance and arrogance, that's a recipe. Yeah. That's nuclear. It'll go bad. And there's just like, we were just in here, and one of the things that he talked through was people don't factor in the complexity of things like Others Day.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing here. People will find themselves in a context, and if it's not, if what you say is not marked by love, then you don't factor in the complexity of things that are like, you attack certain things where you should be like graciously encouraging folks in. And so that's where I think love can have you booted out for the right, or lack of love can have you kicked out and not brought back for the right reasons.
That's exactly right. I want to add to that. Something you said is very key. I think that preachers in general, not just cross-culturally as it relates to another church, but even within the culture of our church that is continually changing as the demographics change, it's the complexities of life. I think that the whole piece of sitting where they sat and recognizing, as we say all the time, that my universe is not universal, and that I have to find ways to get either vicariously, but somehow or another, I got to find a way to get into other people's worlds and see it from their perspective, so that I have the ethos, the credibility to be able to speak into that life. If you don't think I love you, you ain't listening to me no way.
And especially when you don't maybe look like our regular preacher, or I have got like all these preconceived notions. For me, I know that like love tempers all of the things like, I'm going to put this right. I'm gonna not show these people what's up, but somehow, sometimes in my mind, I'm like, I'm gonna show everybody else out there who's not listening to this and not present how this is gonna go, And if I'm actually loving these people at this moment in time, which is the only people that matter in this moment, then I'm just going to bring the word to bear on their lives and on my life because that's my task in this moment.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's it. And love helps. You're saying something that I think cannot be overemphasized, in that I think, to be frank, our relationship has helped me with, there's some ways that we would like to act not in love from a biblical, from what we think is a biblical posture. But when we think about it in context of relationship, you know, then even the love will temper. It won't necessarily change the truth. But it will tone down the ragged edges that we attach to the truth so that we're actually truthing in love, which is what Ephesians chapter 4 says. Said it in a different way. Exposure pre-preaching, you know, just as a lifestyle to other cultures, helps you to be able to recognize, wait a minute, when it's all said and done, we're all human. We're all made in God's image.
Right.
But we might have different social positions.
Yeah. Sure.
And that even if I have to tell a hard truth, I need to tell it like I would tell it to the one I love.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know these people, that's I need to see them like I would the one that I love that I'm in a relationship with.
That's it. You know, one verse that always stuck out to me is Titus 2, where he tells the older men to encourage the younger men to be self-controlled. Mm. And when we think of self-control, people often think that it's like, nah, you discourage somebody to self, like you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And that's the only tool in your belt to get somebody to be self-control. You're not going to do it because people aren't discouraged towards faithfulness, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, man, if you find yourself in a context and you to preach and you see some things that need to change, and the only way that you see that that could be changed is to scold and correct, and you can't encourage people towards faithfulness, then maybe you don't understand that context or the complexities of what goes on enough to really speak in love.
Yeah, which is, So, okay, let's say that a guy's like, I'm not there. I want to serve these people, and maybe I've got an opportunity. Maybe I just desire an opportunity. But what do you say to the guys who are, maybe they have a pulpit and they're considering sharing that with somebody cross-culturally, or they are getting perhaps an invitation to preach somewhere. They're developing a friendship with some guy and they're, hey, you should come preach in my church. But they're suspicious. Mm. They're kind of scared to do it. What kind of encouragement would you give that guy, Ed?
That's a really good question. And I think part of the encouragement has to deal with the fact that as preachers, we want the heart of God. And since God has a heart for all people, I can't change the world.
Uh-huh.
But as he gives me opportunity to engage with people who didn't grow up like me or don't vote like me or don't look like me, that's a gift from God. A gift from God for me to be able to participate, first of all, with his heart toward other people, but to help me to address some of the idols in my life, the stereotypes, the preconceived notions that I have. God loves me enough to give me the opportunity to grow up. Because if I don't take opportunities to get outside of my bubble in the fellowship, even of preaching, inbreeding always leads to retardation.
Right.
That's just a fact of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I need that outside, that outside context so I can recognize how high, how the height, the depth, the length and breadth of God's love in my context. Again, I can't deal with what's going on, you know, with this or that way out. But if God gives me the opportunity in some kind of local context with friendship or with fellowship, it's his gift to me. And I don't want to squander his gifts.
Yeah.
You got anything to add to that?
So, yeah, I mean, two things. One, I would say, man, if you're unfamiliar with the context and you don't know the complexities and you do have a chance to go in, I think, go in with a posture that a Paul would have in Corinthians, right? The introduction.
Yeah.
So we know that there's bad stuff. We know there's stuff that we have to address.
Sure.
But there still are things that are praiseworthy and encouragements. Yeah. And we can we can encourage people out of God's word.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about the cross and what Christ has done and not feel like we've shirked our responsibility. That's one.
Yeah.
And two, if you do get an opportunity, there's nothing in the rule books that say you can't run your message by somebody that's a part of the context before you actually get up there.
Right.
Like, there's nothing that says when you actually step into the pulpit, that's got to be the first time that those words fly out from your mouth.
Yeah, in fact, it probably should be.
So the other piece, you sort of triggered something in me. The other piece is we got to take stock of why am I scared? Why am I uncomfortable? Why? Does God love these people?
Right.
And if he loves it, why am I apprehensive about that? Is it because of how I've been fed by my social media by my denomination? What is that in me? Because if every tribe, every nation, every tongue, that's who I'm going to spend eternity with.
Right.
How come I can't spend some time with this neighbor over here?
Yep. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I think, curious if you all would agree, one of the things that I find is while the illustration needs to be tweaked and I need to get to know that audience the best I can. And I don't mean, for example, in my case, I don't need to get to know Black people as a general concept. I need to know the people in that congregation. In that
right.
Right.
That's
but
it.
As I get to know that congregation, the more I get to know the congregation, whether it be an hour-long phone call with the pastor or hanging out with the people in that church, I find that the more I get to know them, the more similar they are to me.
Right, right.
Right. Yeah. The things we have in common are not just like substantial, but almost overwhelming.
That's right, right. Yeah.
Which doesn't mean that like the differences don't matter, the distinctions aren't important, but it's like, oh, these are legitimately, without being all Christianese about it, these are brothers and sisters in Christ
exactly.
who need the word in a particular moment in time, and I've got the blessed opportunity to speak to them.
Yeah.
So, all right, I want to close with this. We've got a couple minutes left. There's a guy who's thinking, man, I would love to experience cross-cultural preaching in my church, inviting guys in, or going in and preaching in another church. How do I even begin that process? We live in a divided time where there's all kinds of suspicions. How do I even begin to walk down that road? John?
Yeah, so I'm going to say this first from like a staff standpoint,
yeah.
because I think I've seen this as well. I've seen maybe larger majority culture churches that want to diversify and they will, and they think that the first step is bringing a minority staff to yeah. their church and they bring that staff and the church is unprepared. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I do think there is an aspect where it's like, if you want to experience that kind of preaching in your church and bring somebody in, right? And so just candidly, don't let the Black guy that you bring into the church be the first one to talk about race.
Right. Yeah,
don't let the Black guy be the first one to push back, right?
Yep.
You need
yep.
to lead out in all of those things.
Right.
And then if they come in, you do want somebody that comes in that has a sense of solidarity with you, but
yeah.
you want the church to find somebody that may be different than you, but still has the freedom to push back against the same things that you have. Don't abdicate your responsibility to somebody
Amen.
Else because he's going to take
all the heat.
Heat. Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you cannot outsource the encouragement to right. love and faithfulness.
Right.
yeah.
Right.
That a pastor or preacher is supposed to have. So
right.
I fully acknowledge and appreciate what he just said. And I would also add that there's a piece that prayerful acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit can and will direct those who are willing to humble themselves and ask him.
Absolutely.
If you just ask.
Right.
Now, again, when in your asking, very often we're looking for big things.
Right.
As opposed to what's right before us.
Right.
You mean no Christians go to your son's basketball game? No.
right.
Christians go to your grocery store? No Christians eat with
right.
of different ethnicities? Eat yeah. where you eat?
Right.
I mean, sometimes we're looking for the answer to come way from off some, and it's been right in front of us all of
right.
the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would encourage brothers who really want to get started, obviously, start with prayer and then keep your eyes open as the Holy Spirit directs you to what might be in front of you
yeah.
that starts out as a small thing. I mean,
right.
the relationship between Ella Fitzgerald and Marilyn Monroe that really opened up a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
Just start over music.
Right.
Like the same music. I mean, Bonhoeffer and his friend Frank, I forgot his last name, at Abyssinia
yep.
Baptist Church, they love jazz.
Right.
And
yep. then it became a whole big thing.
Yeah.
So don't start big, start small.
Right.
Yep.
Start where you are and let the Holy Spirit direct you and lead you to maybe you can't get peace on earth, but maybe just peace in the neighborhood
That's good.
Might work.
And with that word, let's just keep pressing forward, doing the best we can in whatever context God gives us to preach,
right.
to preach faithfully.
Amen.
Amen.